Welcome to the Fuller Money Audio Commentary. This is Owen Tracy recording at 7:10 British Summer Time. This is the Friday Big Picture Long Term Audio. So what I'll do to start out with is just go over what happened in the markets today, and from there I'll go into our the sort of the longer term view that that we are holding. And it has been a very busy day. The euro started out today, sorry, the dollar started out today up a little bit, and looked like it was going to break out of that little short-term range. But there was a bomb scare in Rome during the funeral of the Pope, and it came back down again and didn't break back up. But that's really nothing to worry about in the short term. It's just come back into that little bit of a short-term range. No real alarm bells, no panics at all. Now, something that definitely does need to be watched is the oil price, because with those weekly keys on gasoline and on heating oil, and those have been leaders on the upside, they could well be leaders on the downside. We might see some further losses in the oil price. It's currently sitting at 52.95. That's down just over a dollar. Actually, just popped to 52.90, so it's down $1.20. It's quite volatile today, and natural gas is down 11 cents at 7.37. So that has really been, had a lot of markets jumping around quite a lot today. For example, a lot of these European indices were up initially today, but about half of them are down now. So the S&P MIB is down 44. Again, not very much in the day. They've all ended pretty flat. And the DAX was up 11, so up a quarter of a percent. The US markets, which closed quite well yesterday, the Dow closed up about 60 points. They're down about 50 points today. So still really making their minds up at the bottom of this range. And this is just something that will play out probably into next week. The Nasdaq, which closed up I think 16 yesterday, is down 11 at the moment at 2006. Now, Mexico had a key reversal yesterday, a very small key. I think really only the Cognoscenti would have seen it. It's up marginally today. It's up 82. That's 2/3 of a percent. At 12,553. Brazil, which was up yesterday, is down today. It's down a percent at 26,041. Some of these South American markets really getting hammered. But we'll have to see what Mexico does, because this really isn't it's not a massive confirmation of the reversal that we saw yesterday. But I suppose it could be worse. It could be going down. But that's the first two consecutive up days since last week. So it might be looking a little bit better, but it has not broken the short-term downtrend just yet. So one to watch. Looking at the precious metals, because obviously these would have been hit by this intraday vacillation of the dollar. And gold is up a dollar at 426.90, and silver is at 716.5, so that wouldn't have hit any of David's sell orders just yet, as the high was at 717, but it's up 9 cents on the day. Palladium is down 205, it's at 198.95, and platinum is down 5.3 at 861.30. So what we're seeing really is just a little bit of strength, but really nothing to write home about. There's no real excitement on the charts in sort of the short term. And just one other just brief look at Asia. That's the Nasdaq, sorry, the Nikkei. Closed up 63 at 11,874, so it's up about a half a percent. It's looking a little bit better, but the second section still looks like it's sort of walking the plank straight along at 3,600, give or take. If it breaks that in any kind of meaningful way, that's going to be bad for the Nikkei. And Australia was up 37, so up nearly a full percent. I was talking yesterday about where was the dynamic. Well, that wasn't a dynamic today, at least not a big one, but it's definitely a good confidence building up move. So this might be telling us that it's not all over yet for Australia. We might see a little bit of ranging. Now, moving into the bigger picture, longer term type of commentary. Just looking first at equities, and in equities, we believe that the equity market at the moment is in the throes of a secular bear market, and that's here defined as a generational long cycle of PE ratio contractions and rising yields. The rally that we've had over the last 2 years is a perfectly predictable rally within this longer term downtrend. And 2 years is a fairly average length of time for one of these rallies to last. It's also the second year of the presidential election cycle, and that is often quite a hard one as the president or the administration will try to pay for the excesses of the year or the 18 months before, where they had to pay for the election and try and get re-elected. So the chances are that in this year, stock markets are going to get buffeted. Now, our long-term view of Japan is that it's going to outperform and that it will uncouple eventually from the U.S. markets. The reason we believe that is because the Japanese bull market ended 10 years and 3 months before that of the US. So if you're looking for a proxy for what can happen after a very big bull market, the Japanese market is pretty much it. And the sentiment there is still very bearish among many circles, although that is starting to change given the rally that we've seen over the last couple of years. Now, it's not going to happen immediately that Japan is going to outperform and you can just switch your money directly from one market into another. This is a gradual process and will take time. But the Japanese market has definitely gone through the real cold turkey from all the excesses that were experienced back in the 90s. So the chances are that if anything is going to go up, that this market is cheaper than most. But of course, uncoupling is something that stock market or stock brokers dream about, and I don't think it will ever completely uncouple. Obviously, as the US gets weaker, it will be harder for Japan to go up. And obviously, as we said yesterday, if the US goes sideways, then Japan might have room to run. David uses the analogy of walking the pets with a leash. And as long as you're walking briskly, and you being the US economy, then you can leave the leash loose and all other markets will behave rather well. And obviously, the higher risk markets like developing markets will do that much better. In fact, they'll do a lot better. So, for example, we've seen, the massive gains that we had so far in Eastern Europe, they were cut right back over the last couple of weeks, of well, over the last month or so, purely because the US situation was getting a little bit doubtful. We are also long-term bulls of the resources sector, and that is because we believe that we are now in a long-term inflationary cycle. You can't just print money as if there was no tomorrow and not expect inflation to kick in. And that will, as inflation enters the public consciousness, people, as in investors and your regular Joe on the street, will have less faith in paper currencies. That means that they will want to start putting money into concrete objects. So the art market, the commodities markets are going to go up. Obviously, one of the reasons that David plays the the hard commodities instead of the so instead of the sorry, the actual commodities instead of the stock markets, is because stock markets, the companies themselves, are under a lot of different pressures. They have to worry about earnings, they have to worry about shareholders. If they're resources companies, they have to worry about regulation, pollution, warehousing, striking workers, all of this sort of thing. And those can be affected really rather badly by various market forces. Whereas the actual commodity itself, if you're investing in that, then the commodity either goes up or down and you can sell it or buy it. You don't really have to worry about any of the problems that the shares might have to worry about. Shares, though, can often be can be leaders in this cycle, so they are worth keeping an eye on. But that's the reason we believe that the resources shares will go up is because we believe the stock market, the commodities themselves will go up, although the shares will be that bit more volatile. And just thinking about, the main market that everyone talks about at the moment for commodities, that is China. We don't have a particularly benevolent view towards communist capitalism, which is a bit of an oxymoron. So we think that the best way to invest in China is in countries that benefit from China's rise, and those would be any country that is producing resources. So Thailand supplies China with a lot of food. Australia supplies it with a lot of metals and food. Indonesia with oil, and obviously Japan because of the massive export market for consumer goods. So that's pretty much it for the sort of the big picture on equities. Moving into bonds, that's feeding in with our inflationary view, and anyone who doubts that there is that we are at the beginning of an inflationary cycle just has to be the person who's paying the bills, and in your household, and you'll definitely see that the household bills are going up. So, one way to play this secular bear market, for example, the treasuries at the moment, we view them as topping out. And that yields are starting to rise, and one way to play those is on the short side. If you are going to go long of those, the best thing to do is to buy them on the dips, when they're right at the bottom of the range. The U.S. Treasury at the moment is trading in very much a tight, well, a fairly tight range of about 5 points. The only sort of risk-averse way to trade that would be on the short side, because we believe that in the long term that is going to go down, and go down quite significantly. The surprises will more than likely be on the downside than on the upside. If you are going to go along, then you want to be buying it right at the bottom of the range, and hoping that it goes up. But we think that, if there won't be any terribly dramatic moves, but over the very long term, any moves that there will more than likely be on the downside. And you have all these people saying that bonds can't go down, that there's so many zombie buyers out there, that there's this desperate need for income from pension funds. Well, these are the same sort of people who, it's the same kind of view that, 5 years ago people were saying that stocks will always go up. These people are now saying bonds will always go up. And sure enough, they have gone up for most people's careers over 20 years, but markets are cyclical and all trends end. And we think that this is a gradual topping out process in the treasury market. Now, in the currency markets, you don't really get these generational long trends, because no country wants a strong currency. So when the Swiss franc was really becoming very strong, they just started printing more of them, and they kept the interest rates low just to bring down the value of the currency. So while you will get trends that will last for maybe 3, 4, 5 years, you're not going to get the trends that last for 20 or 25 years, because no currency, no country can could survive that. No country can have a strong currency just going up for that period of time. Now, the thing is that, at the moment, the US has remarkably low interest rates, and there is the definitely the intent by the Fed to rearm the interest rate weapon, and they're raising interest rates incrementally. Actually, there was one of the, I think it was the governor of the St. Louis Fed, who, unfortunately, I made the mistake of putting in the comment the other day as in Texas, when of course it's in Missouri, as far as I know. I must apologize for that bit of a faux pas. But they have actually sown the seeds of inflation by dropping rates so low and printing so much money. The seeds of inflation have been sown, and we will see the ramifications of that pretty soon. Now, I know David is playing the dollar at the moment on the long side, and it doesn't look like this dollar rally, the current dollar rally, is over just yet. But we do view. I was talking with him today, and we were looking at the charts, and we were thinking, well, is this a short-term rally, or is it a medium-term rally? And we're starting to tend towards the view that it is more of a medium-term rally rather than a short-term rally. There's just that, just a little bit more strength in it. And as you know, for example, as the Japanese yen comes up to 110, it could be breaking the long-term downtrend. Now, that's not to say that we believe we've seen the low in the dollar, but in the dollar index, I mean, it could still go down to 80, and it could go that bit lower. But for the meantime, it does look like the bias is on the upside for the dollar, and I think David will play that accordingly. Now, moving into the commodities section, and this is a pretty big one. As for looking at gold and its high beta counterpart, silver, they're excuse me, they I'm afraid to use the pause button in case I'll turn myself off entirely. Excuse me, but gold and silver have really got some really very good uptrends, and those are relative, they're about 2 to 3 years old, so there is a very high correlation there with the dollar. Now, that dollar correlation we anticipate will weaken over time. I don't think it's ever going to disappear, but as and gold will always be related to the reserve currency, but I think over time it will become less slavish in that that correlation, just as inflation gets pumped into the market, as well as inflation takes off in the market. Now, looking at the metals, we've put up a lot of charts over the last couple of weeks of the metals, and they are remarkably strong, especially the industrial metals. And gold has been hit quite badly. Now, the question, because we've been saying for a long time that gold and silver are buys on pullbacks, so when do we buy these things? And the answer to that question is when we think that this dollar rally is over, because if we're tending towards the view that this could be a medium-term rally in the dollar as opposed to a short-term rally, well, that means that if we're thinking of buying gold, we'd want to hold on a while, because that correlation with the dollar hasn't disappeared yet. Now, the industrial metals are that bit less correlated with the dollar than the precious metals, and that's purely because they're it's a demand-driven rise that they've had. You have massive development in not just China, but in India and a lot of Asia, where they've just been building relentlessly, and that is definitely supporting the market as at the moment. Just looking at the industrial metal prices, And things like copper, zinc, lead, they're all relatively close to the all-time highs. Copper in particular, which is obviously a massive building component, but it's right at the highs, and they have remained very steady into this dollar rally. But as I said yesterday, they are prone to bungee jumps, and and that possibility is still there as long as the dollar is rallying. So this is not really a time to buy them, because there's a risk that you might get to. Well, there's a risk you might have the opportunity of buying them cheaper. As soon as we see evidence that the dollar rally is over, then a good way to play that will be through the metals, who, if they've been braked by the dollar's rise, that means the brake will come off when the dollar starts to fall, and they could accelerate quite well. So that's something to really keep an eye out for. Moving on to the energies, and we do think that the energy sector is in a generational-long bull move. And that's for a number of reasons, of course. One is the demand, and there is a big difference in the demand for resources, for the energy resources and the physical resources, like the metals. And that's recyclability. You can't recycle oil. Once you burn it, it's gone. But you can always melt down a metal and turn it into something else. So, the other thing is, of course, that oil is the most important of all commodities. You just can't do without it. If every country in the world needs it, so there's always going to be a market for it. And there's no real alternatives. With a lot of metals, you can switch between one and the other, but with oil, there's no real energy alternatives. And I hope that in li my lifetime I'll see nuclear fusion, but it's certainly not going to happen anytime soon. So while the oil complex is under pressure at the moment, it's definitely a buy on those pullbacks, and it will get them just like any other market. And we are coming into the driving season in the US, so there'll be a lot of stats coming out, and volatility will definitely be coming into the market just that little bit more. And just moving on to the soft commodities. And soft commodities are really the only cheap asset class out there. And a lot of them, like say wheat and soybeans, they had great runs all the way through February into March. But compared to the kind of moves that these soft commodities can get in when they really get going, this is, to coin a pun, small beans. But there is one major difference. You're never going to get generational long moves in these soft commodities, because farmers will just go out and plant more of them. I know that for corn, soybeans, that's a 1 year cycle, whereas coffee is it only takes a couple of years to get the plants up and running. I think it's 3 years. I might be wrong on that, but it's really not very long compared with the amount of time it takes to get a mine up and running. The reason that we've had this fantastic move in the metals is because it's not easy to start up mines. There's the regulation and there's the massive investment that's needed, and these mining companies have to be sure that once they actually put that investment in, they're going to be able to get the money out of it, that prices aren't going to just collapse, that there actually is that real demand in the market. But with soft commodities, they can just come and plant them anytime, and farmers will just switch to whatever they can get the best price for. At the moment, a lot of those soft commodities, especially the grains, are right back into the base formations that they'd formed earlier in the year and into last year. So they are starting to look opportune. But that's pretty much it from the big picture sort of stuff. Just like to thank everyone for their support with the chart library. I do know that some of the headings are just, some of them are nonsensical, and that's because they come directly out of Bloomberg. So I'll go in and change them and make them a little more user friendly, hopefully, over the weekend. And if there's any other suggestions, I'll put those up there. Actually, it just occurred to me that anyone who's trading gold wouldn't maybe just like to see gold in rand and gold in Aussie dollar, but also in Swiss francs and in yen. So before I go, I'll stick those up as well. But again, any suggestions are more than welcome. Our programmers are working flat out, so we might have the overlay charts sometime next week, and a more user-friendly interface would be fantastic, and hopefully we'll have that next week as well. But thank you very much for your time, and have a great weekend.